Hello and welcome to episode 132 of Speak Beastie for August 22nd, 2021. I'm Shannon.
I'm Amy.
I'm Marjolaine.
And I'm Helene.
Yay.
Hello.
Hi. Okay, so am I the first rotating host since this new format? So, like, I get to reintroduce myself, right?
You are. Yeah, okay. So we're playing Get to Know Us again.
Yay. So, as I said, I'm Helene. I am in Minneapolis, Minnesota. My Hogwarts house is Hufflepuff. My Ilvermorny house is Puckwudgie. My wand is maple with a unicorn core. I honestly don't remember the length or the, like, flexibility, so sorry about that.
How dare you?
I think it's, like, somewhere between 10 and 11 inches, and I think it's, like, I don't know. I never understood flexibility, so I don't remember. my Patronus is a dolphin, and let's see, a fun fact about myself. I got a new job in April, and it's for a marketing agency that did all of the promotion for Crimes of Grindelwald.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. A fan's dream.
Yes. And so here, my fingers are crossed that if they do hire another agency to work on their social media campaigns for the third movie, that they'll come back to us because we did such a great job for them in the last movie. So we'll see. Fingers crossed for me.
Then we'll get to see all of Helene's ads all over social media.
Yes. Everywhere. I'll send them all to you every single time.
And of course you'll give us inside scoops.
Unfortunately, I do have to sign an NDA, so that is not going to happen. But I will be excited with you guys.
What do you mean? You're not going to prioritize this podcast over, like, you know, getting fired?
And possibly, like, sued by WB, you know, all that fun stuff. Yeah. I wish, but no. But which probably means, like, if we do get to work on the film, that I probably will have to not be on the podcast during that time. But, you know, it's fine. We'll figure it out.
I mean, I'm sure they're not going to, like, spill all of the movie's secrets to you guys.
Well, so, we actually, like, get to watch things before they come out.
Oh, so. Okay. No. I was going to say, like, I feel like it wouldn't be too much of a conflict of interest, but, you know, maybe it would be.
Yeah.
Actually, it would be fun. If it happens, we will still have you, and when you will be on the show, we will talk about something completely different, like totally off topic, so it would be safe for you.
That exactly. Would be... not even Fantastic Beasts, anything related at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So the Phoenix Register.
And now a message from our sponsors. Hey you, yes you, the magical cats and dolls waving your wands like bean shooters in a caper. Looking to be on the up and up about Newt Scamander, famous zoologist and world traveler? No need for gossip at the juice joint, just tune your ears to Speak Beastie. And now for as little as one dragon dollar a month, you can make Speak Beastie the Neasles Meow. Support the show at patreon.com and suddenly you're the big cheese, the real McCoy, with exclusive access to swell sneak peeks, bloopers, and behind-the-scenes features. But wait, there's more. Sponsors can also beat their gums at the joint with access to the Speak Beastie Common Room on Facebook. Now you're really on the clean sweep, flyboy. Get a wiggle on to patreon.com/speakbeastie to learn more about becoming a sponsor today. It's the Billy Wigs Knees and How.
Our first bit of news I wanted to go over is actually something that happened while we were on hiatus, but figured it was important to touch on. So in an interview, Mads Mikkelsen, who is obviously replacing Johnny Depp as Grindelwald, he said that Fantastic Beasts 3 will include an epic battle scene between Grindelwald and Newt. So it was in an interview with USA Today, and Mikkelsen said they had worked on the battle scene for 3 weeks straight. So pretty significant.
It's a lot. Yeah.
I wonder if Dumbledore plays a part in that battle at all.
Yeah, I was wondering that because last time I remembered an interview of Judd Law speaking about Once Upon a Time in the West type scene between him and Ezra Miller. So I was wondering now if it's in the same epic battle scene or if it's two different scene, because I was kind of guessing that the climax of the movie would be in Berlin, but we know that Jude Law and Ezra Miller were on the set of Berlin, so yeah, I don't know if it's the same thing or not.
That could make sense, because it does seem like you can't have Dumbledore and Grindelwald face off until their final battle.
That's what I was thinking. Like, when I read this, I was like, oh, like, that's interesting that it's Grindelwald and Newt and not Grindelwald and Dumbledore. But then I was like, oh, wait a second. Like,
yeah.
Grindelwald and Dumbledore wouldn't, like, face off, because, like, wasn't the whole thing that, like, Dumbledore didn't have the guts to face him, basically. So I feel like they're not even ever going to really have scenes together. I don't know.
But I'm kind of concerned because Grindelwald's and Newt seems like, I mean, I love Newt and I have all the respect for Newt in the world, but it seems kind of like an unbalanced match. Like, Grindelwald is known as, like, this, like, one of the most dangerous wizards of all time. And, like, I don't know how Newt would hold himself up in battle against him. I'm guessing it'll be, like, Newt with the help of beasts against Grindelwald.
Yeah.
In World War One, we know that Newt fought with dragons. So maybe he will bring back the Hungarian Iron Belly to the battle against Grindelwald. Who knows?
Yep. Mm-hmm. That would be cool.
That would be awesome. I'd be there for that.
I like that. I was thinking, you know, Newt is all about, like, heart and, like, goodness and stuff like that, which is obviously such a theme of overcoming evil throughout the Harry Potter books. So I guess it could make sense that, you know, he has something that Grindelwald doesn't have, regardless of Grindelwald's power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Love so will conquer all.
Where do you think this epic battle will be set if it's not in Berlin?
I don't know.
In the jungles of Brazil.
Oh. That could be cool.
Maybe, like, in front of Hogwarts.
In the Copacabana.
On that bridge that they were all at in Hogwarts.
Yeah.
I don't know why Grindelwald would be there, but I just want them to go back there.
So another piece of news that I found is WB recently reached a deal with AMC to make their 2022 releases exclusively available in theaters for 45 days. So no simultaneous streaming release for those 45 days to take away from the box office revenue. WB made a similar deal with Cinemark, and obviously FB3 is coming out in 2022, so it will be one of those films that will get that exclusive in theaters release. Wow.
If Disney had made this deal before Black Widow came out, they would have avoided a very big lawsuit. I like this. I'm glad they're doing this.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I've definitely enjoyed not having to pay to go see In the Heights and, like, Wonder Woman 1984 and all that stuff, because that's HBO Max and they put them right on streaming right away. But I would still go to the theater to see this. So.
You didn't see In the Heights on the big screen. That's
no,
a shame.
I watched it at my home. I know this is what happens, like, when you live alone and, you know, you don't want to leave your house to go see a movie, but I will for this.
Yeah.
In the Heights was the first movie I saw in theaters in the past year.
Nice. I went to see it and I was the only person in the theater and it was amazing. Nice. I was like back row, right in the center, had all my snacks around me, you know, kicking back in the recliner.
I think we were 10 in the cinema, and I bring my grandma with me, and it was her first movie in maybe 2 years. So that was great.
Nice.
We went to my couple friends and I. There's like a mostly abandoned mall, but the movie theater is still functioning.
I so, know the kind.
Yeah, it's funny, this news from France, because in France, I don't know if you know that, but we have this media chronology law that, so basically, the streaming services like Netflix, Disney Plus, and all these streaming services that who don't contribute to the French production of movies, French movie production, they can't have the movies until 3 years after they release in the cinema.
Wow.
So, and now they are trying to have a new deal to only have to wait 1 year. So thinking about 45 days, it's ridiculous for us.
Yeah, but Art, you're getting this movie earlier than all of us though, right?
Yeah, 2 days earlier. Yeah. Yes. But yeah, and we don't have HBO Max, so that's that's not a problem.
Okay, yeah, you get the movie 2 days earlier and we get all of HBO Max. I think it's a fair trade.
But we still have the movies. We just need to go to the cinema, which is fine for me. So
yeah. I'd rather see anything on the big screen, personally.
It definitely makes a difference.
Yes, for sure.
So that's it for the Phoenix Reducer thing?
That is it. So let's bring in the other birds.
Yeah, finally, the owls are back. The owls are back.
I love them.
I'm so happy that the listeners were here to welcome the show back, and we had a lot of kind messages from the listeners, so that's really nice. And the first one is from Thales Castro. I don't know how it's pronounced, so I will pronounce it the French way. So Thales said...
I'm not sure.
Thales said that, so it was a response for the podcast question of the week, which was, who do you think Richard Cole will play with his glorious mustache? And so Thales said, hey guys, Thales here, I missed you. So yeah, we missed all of our listeners, so that's nice. So I think Richard Cole will play Aberforth Dumbledore in Fantastic Beasts 3 since he changed his Twitter location to Hogsmeade. And so he shared a screenshot from Richard Cole Twitter, and yeah, he put Hogsmeade in his location, so...
That's a really good observation.
Really?
That's nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good catch. And, yeah, I think Hogsmeade is a big hint.
Because who lives in Hogsmeade? It's not like he put Hogwarts. Like, if he had put Hogwarts, it would have been different.
Yeah.
But he put Hogsmeade specifically.
I was thinking that. I was like, but would you just put that as, like, because I'm filming a Harry Potter movie. But then I'm like, but why would you put Hogsmeade?
Yeah, that's right. A specific location. Yeah.
Especially when, like, this film, as far as we know, doesn't take place in Hogsmeade. Like, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So
case closed.
It would be too big of a hint if he put the location as like the Hog's Head in Hogsmeade. You know?
Can you imagine?
It's too specific. So, do you think at this time Aberforth would already had his pub?
Maybe.
Yeah.
It seems like a pretty well established place.
Yeah. I wonder if there
lots
is
lots of dust.
I'm going to check the lexicon real quick to see if there is, like, an opening date of the pub.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't know.
I doubt it, but let me see. I might as well check.
I mean, we don't even know that he opened it.
Yeah.
It could have already existed.
Is it his pub? Yeah. He runs it, but did he, you know? Yeah, that's a good question.
Did he found it?
Interesting.
Okay, so, yeah. There's nothing here. It's just a picture.
And I found the MuggleNet article with the link to see his hairy look that I was speaking of. And actually, it's a very messy mustache and very messy look. So it fits more Aberforth than Slughorn, I guess. So yeah, it's not a really nice mustache. It's kind of half beard, half mustache. So yeah, it's... It fits Aberforth.
He's very hairy.
Yeah, and more. I don't know. I don't want to say savage, but more rude appearance, I guess.
Yeah, it's very scruffy.
Scruffy, yes.
Oh, according to the wiki, it says that the Hog's Head Inn served as a human headquarters for the 1612 Goblin Rebellion. So if that's true, it's been around for a very long time.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's true.
So yeah, so thank you, Thales, for this this message. It's a really good catch. And
yeah,
speaking of last episode, we were wondering from where Newt was coming from on the boat in movie one when he arrived in New York. It was when we talk about if Dougal is Dumbledore or not, and if Dumbledore was traveling in Newt's case or not. And a friend of mine actually reminded me that that when Tina is checking his paper in movie one, it says he comes from Papua New Guinea. New Guinea.
So, oh yeah!
Oh my gosh! How do we forget that? That's so cool.
Yeah, I totally forgot that too. So, yeah.
Another good catch.
Yeah, and so I guess if Dougal is Dumbledore, he is traveling in Newt's case all around the world. I guess.
I have to say, I put this in the Speak BC comment room, but I absolutely 100% love that segment, especially the one that you guys talked about in the last episode. But I want to put my two cents in and say that I do think that Dumbledore's Animagus is a demiguise. I just don't think he is specifically Dougal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Dougal is like his friend. I don't know. Maybe Dougal's Aberforth.
Oh my god. Whoa. He does have like a mustache type thing.
Maybe Richard Coyle has been in the movies all along, we just didn't know.
Does he has blue eyes? I can't see in the picture.
That's a great question. Probably not.
Next time. That'll be the theory.
Actually, maybe.
Next time on Kowalski's Half-Baked Theories. Every half-baked theory from now on is actually just, this person is Dougal the Terminator. Yeah.
So we also had, we got a great discussion running on our Instagram. Our team posted a question. Do you think we'll ever find out who Lita said I love you to? And yeah, we had a great debate in the comments, and I want to share one of the excellent comments from Purple Cake, and prepare to cry because it's heartbreaking. It's the perfect analysis of Lita, I think. So it's a long quote, so yeah, bear with us. So I think both, but more to Newt. I think she loved him, but felt she was not good enough for him. He was too good, as she says, so she went for the next best thing so she could still be close to Newt. Ouch for Theseus, but okay. I think she felt a lot of guilt and remorse for how their friendship broke, and I think it was her way of telling Newt she was sorry before she died. In that classroom, she specifically went to that desk and traced their initial and thought back to those days. It really looked like to me that she was feeling regrets and still had feelings for Newt. I don't know, but that scene and her saying you never knew a monster you couldn't love and at the grave, then looking back one last time before she walked into the flames, altogether felt connected. It really felt like her saying sorry for everything, not for being the good person he deserved. I think she wanted him, but didn't know how to love him the way he deserved and felt she couldn't have him.
I like that read. I mean, I like Theseus, but I always did kind of believe that Lita loved Newt in that way.
And I always did felt that, like, she's saying it to both of them.
Yeah.
Whether she means it in different ways to each of them or more to one, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, but thank you, Purple Cake, because it was a really... beautiful analysis, so I love it.
Yeah, I definitely did cry reading, like listening to that. That was very cute.
Yeah. So if you are not following us on our social media, you are missing great discussions, and you also missed the welcome back we received from our amazing friends Eric Skoll and James Payton.
Yeah,
it was so nice to see that. So yeah,
absolutely the best. They're the best.
Thank you both.
Also, I wanted to announce before we moved on, I looked it up and Richard Coyle's eyes are indeed blue, so it has been confirmed by us here at Speak Beastie that Aberforth
is
Dougal.
Both Aberforth and Dougal. That's what that means, in case you were wondering.
Yeah,
I mean, you heard it here first.
Okay, so for today's main discussion, we're going to be talking about Newt's assistant, Bunty. Just who is she? What is her role going to be in future movies? So Bunty is played by Victoria Yeats. She works as Newt's assistant. We obviously saw her in Crimes of Grindelwald, working at his home. But she doesn't seem to ever really travel with him. He leaves her behind and is like, watch the beasts that are here. And she has a big old crush on Newt, which is understandable.
Hashtag relatable.
Yeah. I was looking at the screenplay and the description of her in the screenplay when she appears is just, she's a plain girl, crazy about creatures, hopelessly in love with Newt.
And that's a mood.
I'm going to make that my like Twitter bio or something. Like, that describes me.
And that is like a very perfect, succinct description of her. Like, that is all we know about her.
I love that this character literally is on screen for what, like, maybe 3 minutes? And like, people love her. Like, there are so many Reddit threads about Bunty. I was like, whoa.
The Noble Collection made her wand. Yeah. Like, you can buy her wand. Like, and she has, like, 5 minutes total of screen time, if that.
To be fair, they sell a wand that we don't even see on screen, a.k.a.
Yeah.
The president, Serafina Piccary wand, so...
Yeah, true.
Well, yeah, and I had this note later that, like, we don't know her wand details.
I mean, we can describe what it looks like, I guess.
Yeah.
Yes, we know what it looks like. We don't know, like, the core.
Right, right.
Or the flexibility.
Although, I'm looking at it right now, and it has a beautiful pine cone at the end.
Yeah. It's a very pretty wand. I do like it.
The designer, Molly Soule, said... Bunty's wand had a fir cone handle and little ivy leaves wrapping around the wood.
Yeah, it's like part Hermione wand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I wrote down some stuff about where her name could come from. This was all on the wiki. So Bunty, it's a very weird name, but also our main character's name is Newt, so like, not that weird. But it's a very, like, animal-adjacent name. Bunting is a form of animal behavior where the animal butts their head or rubs their head against things. So it's generally considered to be a form of territorial scent-marking behavior. And it's often found in cats, but definitely other animals. I mean, I feel like goats and sheep bunt things. It also stems from the English and Scottish word bunton, which means plump.
And like a bunt cake.
The name, And the name bunting is given to a group of Eurasian and African passerine birds of the family Emberizidae.
Sure. Totally know what that means.
I mean, I have to be honest, I'm not surprised that her name means something having to do with animals.
Skipped over this one, but it's a term of endearment stemming from a dialect name for lamb that means to butt. So, like, three different animal connections, and then plump.
That tracks.
Which she's not particularly plump, but
no,
it's fine.
Well, and I know, too, like, when cats do that thing with their head, like, it's marking people that they love or, like, things that, like, is, like, safe to them. Right. So, like, that also sort of makes sense with Bunty. Like, it seems like she kind of attaches to people very strongly, like Newt.
Yeah.
So, apparently, Bunty has a full backstory that we don't know. But J.K. Rowling gave Eddie and Victoria 3 pages of notes about the relationship between their characters and wrote a whole backstory. So, hopefully, we learn more about this.
Yeah, the little bits that we learn in the book, The Archives of Magic, so this the making of book, is that Newt met Bunty at his book launch party, and actually we see her hiding in the picture. So yeah, that's part of the backstory that Rowling provided. But yeah,
which means they've only known each other for like 2 months.
Yeah,
which is kind of crazy to meet someone and then hire them, but I guess, you know,
I mean,
he's busy.
Yeah, I mean, it was I don't know if it was also in the information that we got or if it's headcanon, but I was guessing that the fact that he published his book, he started to become famous and needed someone to be his assistant and could afford to hire an assistant. And so, it also means that their relationship for now, it's just professional, I guess. And it's just Bunty that he's, more more than, it's more than professional for her, but...
Or
and
she...
so then it's like...
I was just going to say, or she loves him so much that she offered to do it for free and he didn't have to pay her and it was easy to just hire her.
And then it is a very interesting, like, so they really wouldn't have had time to, like, become friends. Like, this wasn't someone that he was kind of friends with, or it wasn't someone that he met in the magizoology community. Yeah. It's just this girl who showed up and was like, hi, I like
really
creatures,
love your
and
book.
He was like, oh, do you want a job?
It might also be, because what we know is the wizarding world at this time is not too, it's not common to have people interested in this, so Newt would be interesting to meet this girl who is as crazy as he has him about Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
So it fits that, and it fits the fact that they don't know each other really well at this time. It fits the way that he treated her. It's cordial. It's he's nice to her, but he's not really warm to her like he is to Jacob or to Tonight's different, but mm-hmm. but yeah.
And so we know that there's going to be a time jump. There's going to be multiple time jumps, presumably in the next couple movies. But so it will be interesting to see like how their relationship has changed and developed just as they have gotten to know each other more. Mm-hmm. Although to be fair, like it's not like he's known Tila and Jacob and Quilly for that much longer.
Yeah, this is true.
We only knew them in person for a few days.
Maybe so. Bunty is Dougal, and she was she was with him to take care of the animals. Well,
but he didn't know.
But she doesn't have a mustache, so
I feel like Newt is like, because he doesn't develop attachments to people very often. I think, like, when he does, like, it's more instantaneous. Like, he, like, it's like, oh, yes, I like you. You are one of my people now. Like, because he doesn't have that connection very often.
Yeah.
So another thing we don't know about Bunty is her Hogwarts house. And we don't know really when she went to Hogwarts either. I think she's about the, like, Victoria Yeats is about the same age as Eddie Redmayne. But that doesn't necessarily mean
for some reason I feel like she's younger. Like, it just seems like she's younger.
Yeah, I think that would make sense. Eddie Redmayne is 39, but Newt is supposed to be a little bit younger, although we're doing a time jump. And then Victoria is 38. So yeah.
I would, if I had to guess, I'd say she was maybe like, I don't know, like 5 years behind Newt or something. So like they didn't really overlap at Hogwarts.
Yeah.
I think that can make sense. Mm-hmm. Or even like she was a few years younger and so she noticed him.
That's what I was thinking, like a Ginny Weasley
was like,
type of thing.
How do I replace this Leda girl?
Yeah, like she actually knew him much longer than he knew her and she had a crush on him in school, but he didn't know she existed, literally.
Yeah. And that could be how the conversation went at the book signing. Hey, we were at Hogwarts together.
And he's wow, okay. So what house do we think she's in?
Yeah, I would say Hufflepuff is a bit obvious, but I don't know.
Yeah,
we don't know enough she about is... her, really, I think.
She seems very loyal.
And hardworking.
Yeah. To Newt.
Yeah.
Definitely hardworking.
Oh, go ahead, Amy.
I was just going to say, I know, like, you've got some quotes in here from Victoria about
Bunty, and kind of reading those quotes, I got the feeling of Hufflepuff, just kind of the characteristics she describes.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I feel like the nurturing, caring instinct of like a magizoologist usually, I feel like, connects to Hufflepuff a little bit more. Like, more people assume that, like, if your job is to like care for another like living thing, that you might be a Hufflepuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, possibly. And the fact that she got hurt by the beast. I don't remember the name.
The Kelpie.
The Kelpie, yes. And she got hurt by the beast, but didn't complain. It's just, I mean, if she was a Slytherin or even a Gryffindor, if she was a Gryffindor, she would be, oh, look, I was fighting with the Kelpie to get her the medicine, and I got hurt. But that, it doesn't care. I don't care.
She was a Slytherin, she'd pull a Draco and, oh, my God, my arm's going to fall off.
Like. And if she was a Ravenclaw, she would not even try. Okay, it's too dangerous for me.
She would have hurt herself in the first place when she was a Ravenclaw. Yeah,
she doesn't really strike me as very bright.
Yeah.
Like, she knows a lot about animals, for sure. But that strikes me as more of just like, well, this is the one thing I, like, want to know about. Which isn't to say that there's anything wrong with particularly smart.
She definitely
doesn't... But also not to say that every Ravenclaw has to be super smart.
True.
Definitely not.
She definitely doesn't seem as skilled as Newt. Because I don't think he would have injured his fingers with the Kelpie.
This is definitely, I mean, we know from Newt's backstory that he grew up with beasts. Yeah. And it also seems like this is all just kind of stuff that comes naturally to him. I feel like for Bunty, it's more, well, this is the thing that I want to do, even if I'm not good at it. So I'm going to work hard to be good at it.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. So yeah, I have a quote here that's not specifically about Bunty from Victoria Yeats, but I just thought it was a very nice quote that really kind of sums up the movies. Specifically, she was talking about Dumbledore. In these films, you're really getting to see how Dumbledore becomes Dumbledore, what we go through, the beasts within us, what we have to overcome to become the people that we want to become. I just thought,
that's such a nice quote.
What a lovely summing up of... Yeah, what we have to overcome to become the people we want to be. Mm-hmm. It's nice.
Yeah.
What will Bunty have to overcome? Her crush on Newt,
I guess.
So then we don't really know a lot about her role in the next movie. We know she's going to be in it. We know that Victoria filmed. But she did a MuggleNet Instagram Live, and so pulled a few quotes from that about the character and a little bit about what she's going to be doing in the next movie. So she said, she's still very in love with Newt. That's not a surprise. Her character is expanding. She's more included. She's a really beautiful character. She's very pure and truthful and loyal and innocent, and she's got integrity. She's very sweet, and she definitely fits a space that isn't being filled yet in terms of the kind of person she is. It feels like she's going to grow in confidence and get more to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is cool. That does definitely sound very Hufflepuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's the definition of Hufflepuff.
Yeah. So she's still very in love with Newt. We know that however many years have passed, but she is apparently more included, and we're going to see more of her character.
It's just kind of, like, it's cute that she's in love with Newt, but it also is, like, sad because we know that she's not going to end up with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wish that she, and I want happiness for her, you know? Like, I hope she finds someone, because we know Newt marries Tina, so.
Yeah, but that's...
Obviously, like, I'm a Jacob Queenie all the way, but also she and Jacob would be very cute.
That would be cute.
Oh, yeah.
Or she and Queenie.
Oh, yeah. I like that, too. Mm-hmm. If Queenie is, like, you know, not evil anymore.
Yeah. So I stumbled across a Reddit headcanon that sort of like goes along with that point of Bunty does eventually find somebody, because this person, Miss Reads a Lot is their Reddit username, says that they have a headcanon that Bunty is Luna Lovegood's grandmother, so she would have to meet someone to, you know, for that to happen. anyway, her theory is J.K. Rowling revealed a few years ago that Luna Lovegood marries Newt Scamander's grandson, Rolf. And I was thinking about how they met. Having seen Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, I now have a headcanon that Bunty is Luna's grandmother, which makes the Lovegoods and Scamanders family friends.
Huh.
Yeah, so Newt and Bunty would definitely have had to stay friends for a long time after this movie. But yeah, I like that. That like eventually that's their grandchildren. Cute. Yeah. That's so cute.
And actually, it reminds me that we don't know Bunty's surname, actually.
Mm-hmm. No.
And is Bunty her first name?
We don't know if Bunty's her first name.
Or her last name.
If it's
name.
A nickname. Yeah. Or it could be her surname.
Yeah.
I don't see Newt calling her by her surname. I don't know.
Bunty seems like an especially weird surname.
It seems like a weirder first name. I'm sorry, but I think it's a weirder first name than a surname.
Well, I feel like if it was a surname, it would have to be like a nickname based on a surname. Like her surname is Bunting.
Yeah.
But maybe. I don't know.
But it's interesting that we don't have her full name.
Yeah.
Like she could be Emily Bunty or, you know, I'm fine with that. I think that's
because sometimes even if it's not mentioned in the movie, we have it in the credits and it's not the case with Bunty. So,
Which she's like that... Prince. It's like Prince. It's just Bunty. That's her whole name.
She only needs one name. but yeah, that lack of last name seems to have led to a lot of Reddit theories. A lot of people are saying she's a Weasley because red hair, I guess. If you have red hair, you have to be a Weasley.
She would be perfect for Charlie if they were remotely closely the same age.
But yeah, so I don't know. But then, like, there's all of these theories, and it's like, why does everyone have to be connected to characters we already know?
Yeah, no.
Can't they just be their own person?
Yeah, at the same time, the wizarding community is quite small, so I guess we don't... They have to have a connection at some point. Because they are not...
She's a Lestrange.
No, I don't think
she's
so.
Corvus.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is she Corvus?
I'll bring that into a theories. I'll bring that'll be my half-baked theory. Tune in next time.
No, but like honestly, if you do think about it, like if Charlie had not been born, like I mean, he's a completely different generation. But like, if he was alive at the time that like Bunty was this age,
and if she's not a Weasley.
No, but like they would be perfect for each other because he loves dragons, and like I feel like he's a very Newt-like character in the fact that he likes animals, and that like is his job. And so him and Bunty, and they're like both kind of quiet and reserved. It's just a match that star-crossed lovers. They weren't born at the same time.
New ship, Charlie and Bunty.
Yes, I'm here for it.
But it would be if we go with the Lovegood theory. It would be nice if she is at some point Luna's grandmother by her father or by her mother, I don't know. But to have a mother figure for Luna who was passionate about beasts and who passed that to her grandchild, that's mm-hmm. nice, I guess. So.
Like Pandora's mom, I could see that.
Yeah, this all tracks... Kind of. So what do we think, you know, Bunty will be doing in the next movie? Do you think that she'll travel with Newt? There's not a lot of options, I guess. I don't know what else she'd be doing. If she's not like traveling with Newt, she's not in the movie that much. But
maybe Newt, like, calls her in to help with something. Like, he needs someone else who knows about creatures. I don't know.
Maybe the entire movie takes place in that one room with all the animals that she works at.
I don't know, but she needs to go with Newt on adventures, because if not, I don't see why we will have her involved. So
hey, maybe she'll like join the Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah, maybe.
Whatever it kind of is right now.
Yeah.
The First Order.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Either way, I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah. So that's Bunty.
That is all we know.
That's it.
So this next segment is one of our new segments, and I'm so excited for these.
Ladies and gentlemen, please find your seats. Nomadge Movie Magic is about to begin.
So we are highlighting crew members behind the scenes and their work that they did to make these movies come alive on the big screen. So for this episode, I wanted to take a look at the puppeteers that were hired to work on the Fantastic Beasts films. So they actually hired puppeteers to act like in scenes with the actors and control puppet versions of the creatures. So the props department actually made detailed heads of beasts and like hands and stuff like that, like pieces of the creatures that the actors could interact with. And the puppeteers, obviously, like I said, controlled those in the scenes before CGI was put in. So I found this nice little video on YouTube where Robin Guyver, the supervising creature puppeteer on Crimes of Grindelwald and Fantastic Beasts 1, kind of describes a little bit about what he does and what the other puppeteers do. So a little bit about Robin Guyver. I found his website and pulled things from his bio. Seems like a cool guy. He specializes in creature and character movement. He's worked on films like Rise of Skywalker, The Last Jedi, The Force Awakens, Fantastic Beasts 1 and 2, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. He also does work for West End shows and puppetry in the 2012 Olympic opening ceremony in London. So that's kind of cool.
Got a good career, this guy.
Yeah. So Guyver explained in the video I mentioned that is put up by WizardingWorld.com. If you search it, Fantastic Beasts Puppeteers, you'll find it. but he explains that the props department actually uses 3D models of the creatures from the animators, and they make molds or prints of them to make them actually tangible. And a quote from him is, "The parts that we use need to be enough to engage the actors' imaginations, but they don't need to be as beautiful as what you see on camera." And actually, some of them are really funny looking. Like the Niffler, has like the best way to describe how this Niffler looks is an armadillo wearing a black hoodie. If you look at it, you'll get it.
You just gotta post a picture in the common room after this airs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. but they aren't just like stationary statues or models. The puppeteers are moving them and giving them a constant performance and personality. And Allison Sudol actually said the way that they moved, the sounds they made were so visual and so vivid. And for creatures like the Zawu, Guyver actually says the puppeteers did research on how the creatures and cats kept in captivity act and behave. So they had this whole set of mannerisms that they had researched that they followed when standing in that scene for the Zawu. And they have like this big like Zawu head that they kind of like strap on and move around. And it's really cool how they do it, too, because, like, the movements are very fluid. Like, it's not like they're just holding it there. Like, it moves, and, like, the head, like, kind of, like, cocks and stuff. Like, it's pretty cool if you watch it.
That is cool.
And another quote from Guyver about that is, he says, "So, while Newt's interactions with them are brief in the film, they're loaded with this very real story of rehabilitating a creature that's been abused." So you can
another
just...
Another good quote that sums up...
Yeah.
The story. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was so cool that there's like this whole other layer of acting
that
happens during the filmmaking process, but isn't actually seen on screen, but like it's very real acting that's going on.
Yeah, it's like acting that is done to ensure the other performances are like legit. No, what's the like?
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of what the word is, but like
more believable.
Yeah, like sincere. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really wish that like it was all puppets and not CGI.
I mean, practical effects would be so freaking cool if they were like able to be pulled off in these films.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But it does make this, like, knowing how much puppeteering that they are using, it makes sense. Because I've never felt like the actors are performing to nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Unlike with other movies where stuff like this is all CGI, it's like, okay, you can tell that, like, they are performing to something. So it makes sense that there's pretty realistic puppets there.
I always just assumed that they were, like, tennis balls on sticks, you know?
Yeah. I do know. I remember, like, I think it was Michael brought this up on an episode like a long time ago. And then the next time I watched the movie, I looked for it. There's one shot where in the case where Newt is with Frank, and you can tell that Frank's head is a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
But just one shot. The other shots of him are all CGI. So I don't know. That might not even be on purpose, but like it looks good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was like, then why isn't he always a puppet?
Yeah, I think Frank was the most the beast that was the most possible to make a puppet on screen. The other one, I guess, it's more difficult. Like the Niffler, it's more difficult because it moves too much.
There is one of those things where it's like, oh, these things move around so much. Because you can't really do It's a Puppet sometimes and It's CGI sometimes.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, like they did with Buckbeak in the Harry Potter movies. It's sometimes a puppet, sometimes CGI. So, it's not a puppet, it's animatronics, but I guess it's practical effect. So,
yeah. Yeah, they could have done that more with Frank, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Even if not, you know.
Yeah.
The Niffler and Dougal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting too. He was talking about how like Eddie would come into the props studio and like want to like study like what the movements were gonna be and like how the creatures moved so he knew how to interact. I was like, that's so cute.
Like, oh yeah, Eddie Redmayne, what a gem.
He's so dedicated. Like, oh, yeah.
Love that.
And I remember some making of footage from movie one. I don't know if they were talking about Guyver or another props guy, mm-hmm. but they were talking about the Niffler scene and how this and maybe it was Guyver because he looked like quite tall, and they were talking about a prop guy who was in charge of the Niffler, and he was very tall, and suddenly he was mimicking the Niffler movement I think it was Eddie or I don't remember who was talking about the impressive performance that this big guy gave give the actors the image of what the Niffler was doing.
Oh, and, my God.
Oh, I love it.
And I think for Dougal, because we love Dougal, of course, for Dougal, they had an actual actor playing him. I remember some footage of a guy working like Dougal in the shop, like on his knees.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Movie magic.
Another example of all the things that we never see, but all the work that happens.
Yeah. Love it.
Well, is it time for the Newt case?
Yes. I think it is.
Awesome.
The Newt case is back.
Yes.
What puppet do we have in there?
Oh, yeah, it'd be an interesting puppet. This week for the Newt case, I chose imps. I did a quick search. It didn't look like we talked about this before, so hopefully I'm not repeating anything. But I chose imps because I wanted to pick one that seemed to have originated in Germany, because a lot of Fantastic Beasts 3, we are like partially going to be in Germany, I think, is what we've determined. So I wanted to find like a German creature. And according to the internet, imps originated in Germany, or like the mythology of imps did, but not according to Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, the book. So I've kind of separated the information I found from, you know, the Fantastic Beasts book, and then the information I found on the internet, because they are kind of different. Because imps, as you guys probably know, are a mythological creature that exists outside of the Harry Potter larger wizarding worlds area. Like, people know what imps are, even if you don't read the books. But according to Fantastic Beasts book, they are only found in Britain and Ireland, and they are sometimes confused with pixies because of their similar height, which is usually between about 6 to 8 inches tall. But they can't fly like pixies can, and they're usually dark brown or black in color, while pixies tend to be very vividly colored. But they do have the same slapstick sense of humor as a pixie. So they're kind of just like dark pixies, I guess. But their preferred terrain is damp and marshy, so they tend to hang out near riverbanks, and they amuse themselves by pushing and tripping the unwary, I'm guessing, into the riverbank is my guess.
That slapstick sense of humor, man.
Yeah. Just rude,
nothing
honestly.
Nothing like pushing someone into water.
Yeah. They eat small insects, and they have breeding habits similar to fairies, which I was like, wait, what? Like, why do we know the breeding habits of fairies? Because I needed to know what the book meant by that, since it did not, you know, expand on this at all. I went to look up fairies to see if maybe they expand on the breeding habits of fairies in that section. And I guess what they mean by having similar breeding habits to fairies, they mean like fairies tend to lay up to 50 eggs at a time on the underside of leaves. So, but it did make sure to confirm that they don't spin cocoons like fairies do, and that their young are hatched fully formed at around 1 inch in length, whereas in the fairy section, it says after they lay up to 50 eggs on the underside of leaves, they are hatched as larvae and then spin cocoons and are in there for, like, I think a couple of months or something, and then come out as fully formed, like, adult-like fairy figures.
Okay.
So that's, like, the main difference is, like, fairies are not hatched fully formed, and then they spin cocoons kind of like a caterpillar, and then they come out like a butterfly, whereas imps are, like, they lay up to 50 eggs at a time, but they're hatched fully formed at around 1 inch in length and do not spin cocoons. So that's the main difference. That's all we get on imps in Fantastic Beasts, kind of a fairly small section, but because they do exist as mythology outside the world of, you know, Wizarding World, I looked on the internet and found some more information. So according to Wikipedia, they are a European mythological being similar to a fairy or a demon and originated in Germanic folklore, which is why I picked them, because Germany. But the word may perhaps derive from the term impe, I'm guessing is how you say it. It's spelled Y-M-P-E, and it's used to denote a young grafted tree. So maybe it's because, like, they have their eggs on leaves or something. I don't know. They don't live in trees, so I don't really understand the connection there. But they are described in Germanic folklore as a small lesser demon. But unlike the Christian faith and stories that we learn from Christianity, demons in Germanic folklore and legends were not necessarily always evil. So they're often described as troublesome and mischievous, more than, like, seriously threatening or dangerous, like most demons, I guess, are thought to be, and as lesser beings rather than more important supernatural beings. So they're just kind of like pests, I guess. And sure. The attendants of the devil are sometimes described as imps in, like, some folklore, but I don't know if they're the same. Didn't really expand on that. But they are usually described as lively and having a small stature in general. So that's imps.
Who knew the breeding habits of imps and fairies?
Yes. Yeah. So, like, I guess it's very like easy to confuse imps, fairies, and pixies for all their similarities. But imps are just kind of like rude asshole fairies and pixies.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember, in like the Harry Potter video games, weren't the imps like those little red guys and you could like pick them up and throw them after they were stunned or something?
I don't remember. I know that in like the Lego Harry Potter games, they have gnomes that you can do that with. But I don't know about the other ones. I can't remember.
Yeah, I feel like in like the old school ones, there were these weird little like red guys that ran around like cackling while you were trying to collect beans.
Oh, the beans. It could be.
Yes, they're in some of the games.
Yeah, since the beginning of the Newt case, I was wondering what would be the French name of this creature. And I don't have my Fantastic Beasts book with me. And I can't find the French equivalent because, like you said, it's... I don't know if it's fairies, if it's other kind of little creature. I can't find the French name of this beast. And it bothered me since you started. Why can't I find this name?
Oh, no. You're going to, like, go look it up right after the recording and, like, be so mad that you didn't get to say it.
Yeah. No, but it's just because I when I look to imps on Wikipedia, the equivalent in French is not a Fantastic Beast that we have in the book, because it's mm-hmm. Diablotin, so literally little devil, and I don't know what it is in the book, so yeah.
Well, you'll have to post it in the common room when you find out.
Yeah. We will.
Or someone else French who listens. Get on that.
Because it's not doxies. It's something else.
Yeah, yeah. Doxies are different. They're like a separate thing in the book. So.
Okay. Yeah. And not pixies. So again, another thing. Who
knows? They're all very similar, I feel like. Especially just like in terms of what they look like.
Yeah.
It's like us and monkeys. We all come from the same things at some point.
Anyway, I will find sometime when it is. So, I guess that we need to close the Newt case for now, because I don't want too many imps escaping around. Escaping.
Yeah. Pushing people into riverbanks, as they do.
So for this week, the podcast question will be, how do you think Bounty's role will evolve in Fantastic Beasts 3? Maybe being the new hero that we deserve, maybe?
Yes.
She's the one that defeats Grindelwald, not Dumbledore.
Yes. Oh, she steps in that big epic duel between Grindelwald and Newt. She's like, you're not coming for Newt.
I was going to say, what if she dies?
Oh, no.
No, I refuse that. So please send us more happy theory. And yes, you can drop us an owl on any of our social media outlets. Or yes, you can send us an email at speakbeastie@gmail.com. And you can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Yes, do that. But in the meantime, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at speakbeastie. Facebook at facebook.com/speakbeastie, Tumblr at speakbeastiepodcast.tumblr.com, and you can also support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/speakbeastie. We have really cool stickers, and we have a lot of really awesome Patreon content that came out over the hiatus that you have access to all of it at once if you become a patron now, and you're not going to want to miss out, because we had to satisfy our love for the series when we were on hiatus somehow, so we just made a ton of content for you. That's how we coped. But just hold on, because there's some really cool stuff coming out. I have seen everything that everybody's been putting out there, and I cannot wait to see what's up, what's coming up next. And if you're a patron, you'll get to see it too.
Yeah for as little as $2 a month.
Yeah.
I've got character playlists coming out. Yeah. There was a Serafina video.
Yeah. Ooh. We've got some Magical Creatures Pictionary that'll be going on.
Ooh.
I did a coloring live stream. You can still go watch that for a nice relaxing time.
Yes.
Yep.
Rex made some wonderful, like, Fantastic Beasts themed cocktails and, like, with recipes and stuff. Ooh. If you want.
I'm going to try those.
Yeah, they look delicious. So definitely go and check it out, guys. It's a good time over there. I'm Helene.
I'm Shannon.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Marjolaine. Case closed.